Acts chapter 15. Starting at verse 7. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. Brothers, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, look at the next four words, who knows the heart. We're coming to understand that as never before as a people. God knows our hearts. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them just as he did to us. He said, hey, just the way it happened to us in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 2, it's now happening to all of the Gentiles. There must have been something physically that they could see to identify the fact that the Holy Spirit is now falling on the Gentiles. He made no distinction between us and them. For he purified their hearts by faith. That's our text for today. He purified their hearts by faith. I want to talk to you today under the title, The Purified Heart. Let's pray. Father God, I love you so much, and I thank you for the opportunity to once again stand before these people and teach your word to them. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. Take that which you've given me in study and preparation and anoint it, Holy Spirit. Anoint it to land deep in our hearts and cause a difference in how we live. Lord, I want a purified heart. Would you say that with me? Lord, I want a purified heart. Repeat after me. Come this morning during our teaching time and show me, clearly show me how my heart can be purified. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to start out by commending this congregation this morning. I fully understand that the last two messages that I have taught in this series have been difficult messages. Difficult to preach and difficult for you to sit and listen to them. The one on the undivided heart and the one on the secrets of the heart. Those were not easy assignments on both sides here, giving and receiving. But I want you to understand something, my friends. It doesn't say any place in God's word that we gather together on Sunday mornings so we can all be patted on the back by the pastor and say, good boy and good girl, and you're just really good people, and you just go on and live your life because you're good, 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 good. Didn't that make you feel good today? Here's what the Bible says about the preached word. It says the preached word is profitable for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, and for training in righteousness. 50% of those I don't like. How about you? How many people like to be rebuked? Let me see your hands. Okay? How many people like to be corrected? Let me see your hands. Those are not fun things. Those are not, oh man, I just felt so good in church this morning because Pastor rebuked me and corrected me. Well, the Word did, because all I'm doing is preaching the Word. So I want us to understand, about 50% of the time, that's probably what's going to happen. You people just handle the Word so well. I thank you for that. You come here ready to receive the word. And you come here ready to not only receive the word, but to respond. Don't ever lose that spirit in this church. You can teach me the word, I'll receive the word, and as the Lord touches my heart with it, I will respond accordingly. Today I want to begin looking at the biography of a man who had a purified heart. We're told about him in the 112th Psalm, and just follow along as I read it. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. His children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for the gracious and compassionate and righteous man. Good will come to him who is generous and lends freely, who conducts his affairs with justice. Surely he will never be shaken. A righteous man will be remembered forever. He will have no fear of bad news. Why? Why? All of the above? Because his heart is steadfast. And he trusts in the Lord. Wow. What a description. What a description. I draw your attention to the first line or two. This man is a man who fears the Lord, and he, particularly this line, he finds great delight in God's commands to him. He doesn't just take them or chafe through them. He finds great delight in the commands of the Lord. And that produces a list like this. His children are mighty, it means powerful, and blessed, it means happy. He is wealthy. Now, don't misinterpret this, Americans. We think wealthy means a plus $500,000 home, a Mercedes-Benz, and exotic vacations. That's not what wealthy means. In the Bible, wealthy means you have more than enough. And I would venture to say 80 to 90-plus percent of us have more than enough. We're not living in $500,000 homes, and we're driving Fords and Chevys. That was a little put in there for Hagen Ford, okay? But the point is, we've got more than enough. Boy, that was weak. You know what I had for supper last night? I had over a 16-ounce ribeye steak. This thing filled the whole plate. It was that big. And I enjoyed every bit of it. And Donna gave me half of her... She said, and half of mine. Now, that's a description of more than enough. This man walks in the darkness with light. You know what that means? That means he goes into a dark environment and he lights up the dark environment. He's generous and he lends freely. He lives like this. Not like this. He's never shaken. He doesn't fall. He doesn't slip. He doesn't waver. And he is unaffected by bad news. Now, that does not mean that bad news does not come his way. It just means it has no impact on him. Okay, let's take a vote. How many would say, Pastor Joel, I would like to be like this guy? Let me see your hands right now. About 80% of you. The other 20%, I don't know where you're at. I sure would like to be like this guy. And the good news is, we can all be like him. Every person sitting here right now can have that as a description of your life and your family and your home. How, Pastor? Well, verse 7 says, that man's heart is fixed in the King James Version. Means it's directed, it's ordered. He doesn't just let his heart go any place. He directs and he orders his life. The first of four truths today. God can fix hearts and turn them to go in the right direction. Now, let me give you three important heart principles as we move in today's message. The first principle is our hearts can be made to go in any direction we want to put them to go. Secondly, if we don't give our hearts direction, they're going to go in the wrong direction. Say, how can you say that, Pastor? Because that's what the Word of God says. Proverbs 14:12 says, there's a way that seems right to Joel Stalker, but every time I take it, it's wrong. It leads to destruction. Same with you. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is destruction. And the third principle is, when dealing with our hearts, we can't be passive. I propose to you that this may be one of our greatest problems when it comes to our hearts. We have positioned ourselves passive. And as a result, the same always happens. We end up going in the wrong direction because we haven't taken active, aggressive ownership of our hearts. Look at this psalm. You are my portion, O Lord. I have promised to obey your words. I have sought your face with all my heart. I have sought my face with all my heart. I have considered my ways, and I have decided to turn my steps to your statutes, your ways, your commands. That's how I'm going to walk. I will hasten, and I will not delay to obey your commands. How do we go about this? I want to return to a verse that we briefly looked at in the very first message in this series. Proverbs 4:23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Two words. The word keep, nasar, it means to guard, protect, or watch. And the word diligence, mishmar, it means like a prison guard. I am to guard, protect, and watch my heart as if I were a prison guard on my heart. Now, I begin to meditate on that. And I think the Lord really showed me some very, very important things that I want to share with you. What's the job of a prison guard? We would say, well, a prison guard would keep watch over the prison to keep the people in. More than that, to keep bad stuff out. I remember visiting someone in a prison. Don and I were sitting in a very close quarters with a lot of visitors and so forth. And I watched as a couple came in to meet a prisoner. And we were visiting with the person we were there to see. And I watched this couple sit over here with the prisoner. And over a period of about 10 to 15 minutes or 20 minutes, this took quite a while, I watched as a tennis shoe was untied. How then, 5 minutes later, the tennis shoe was slipped off, and the prisoner had almost the same tennis shoe. And the prisoner did the same, and through time, those tennis shoes were changed. And the prisoner was having that guy's tennis shoe on, and he had the prisoner's tennis shoe on. Some bad stuff got in. You see? Transfer this to our hearts. If we're supposed to be a prisoner guard, so to speak, over our hearts. I think that often our primary focus with our hearts is to keep certain stuff out and to keep some stuff in. So, but I think sometimes we focus our certain thoughts and feelings and emotions on stuff that we have that we don't want to have in. And we work like crazy over that. I wonder if this battle wouldn't be more easily won if we were fighting harder to keep certain things like faith, love, hope, spiritual things in. Instead of, we got to keep this out, we got to keep that out, we got to keep everything else out. Second truth of the day. If we have the right stuff in our hearts, we won't have to worry about the wrong stuff coming out of our hearts. You see, there is no such thing as an empty heart. Your heart is filled with something. And Jesus says, what's in our hearts is not neutral. It is, according to the Lord, either good or evil. So, what shall we do? We should take our soulish stuff out and then deposit spiritual stuff into our hearts and then stand guard over our hearts to keep that spiritual stuff in our hearts. So let me ask you, have you deposited good godly direction into your heart? No, it doesn't just seep in. You have to deposit it in. And then the second question I want to ask you, follow up to that, is do you regularly take inventory that those directions that you've put into your heart are still in your heart? As I understand it, I might be off, but I don't think too far. I think prisons have like at least 2, sometimes 3 counts a day. 1 count is in the morning. Is everybody here? Another count is in the evening. Is everybody here? And another count is a no-notice count. It's like mid-morning, mid-afternoon, middle of the night. We're taking count. I think it to be highly possible that many Christians have a misdirected focus on the issues of their heart because we don't take enough of counts. Oh, we had something put in our life at winter retreat. And we haven't thought about it since December. Oh, we had something put in our heart, really deep in our heart, at the last spiritual emphasis, but haven't really given it much thought since then. I want us to consider another verse that will really shed some light on this. It's the 26th Psalm, verse 2. David wrote this psalm, it says, and David said, examine me, O Lord, and prove me, and try my reins and my heart. Find something very interesting. 6 times in the Old Testament, the word reins and heart are connected. This is one of the 6. Now, some translations have them synonymous, but I've studied this, and I don't think they are synonymous. Most translations translate reins as mind. I think it to be different and far deeper. The word heart, we've already looked at, leb. It's the center of our everything. It's the production room of everything else. I taught you that in the first message. But now we introduce ourselves to a new word. It's the word reins. It's the word kilia. And the word in the Hebrew means your kidney. Okay. We're talking about our heart, and we're talking about our kidneys. The heart pumps blood through the body, as I understand it. The kidney filters off the toxins that build up in the blood. So our kidneys are a necessary purification system built into the body to rid the body of impurities that develop and present themselves in the body. So back to David, David says, I need three things. I need to be examined, that is, investigated. I need to be proven, that is, tested and tried. And I need to be tried, that means I need to be purged and refined. So, both our heart, which is producing the blood that goes through the body, and our kidney, which is purifying that blood and taking the toxins out, need to be investigated. They need to be tested, tried, purged, and refined. You see, our heart is supposed to filter our impurities, out impurities that enter into our lives, but our heart is not always reliable. I think I have presented that to you repeatedly through this series. Your heart is not reliable. So you've got to rely upon something else. Now, everything that I'm telling you today about kidneys, Judy Gonzalez told me. So, if it's wrong, she gave it to me wrong. You remember, Judy, that conversation? Well, you didn't know that I was taking notes furiously. Furiously. Because I didn't know a hoot about kidneys. But Judy told me a lot about kidneys. Judy told me, in the physical, a person who needs dialysis must have it or they die. Is that right? Yeah. They're living through this in their home. So this comes from a first-hand experience. And my understanding, according to Judy, is that dialysis is incredibly time-consuming. You told me 3 days a week, 4 hours of treatment. Essentially, you said, Pastor, it consumes your life. I want you to remember that. Dialysis consumes your life. In dialysis, a machine takes your blood out of your body, takes the toxins out of the blood, and then puts that good blood back into your body. Do I have that kind of right, Judy? Please say yes. Okay. I don't want to ask every physician in the house today, okay? Because we'll turn this into a doctor's session. I think that's kind of what you told me. And you did say this. Again, you said it's a life and death issue. You said it's time consuming. It's like a part-time job is what you said. And you said, get this, because this is going to all make sense in about 5 minutes. Get this. Judy said, when you need dialysis, there are no days off. There are no holidays. There are no vacations. When you need it, you need it. All the time. Get ready for a powerful application. In the spiritual, every person in this room right now is on dialysis. No exceptions. We all need to have the Word of God rid our heart of toxins from our spiritual system. But here's what we think. I only need spiritual dialysis once a week. For 30 to 40 minutes on Sunday morning when Pastor Joel teaches us. He takes longer than any other pastor in the city. And so I get a real good dose of spiritual dialysis every Sunday morning. And we think That's sufficient. And if we miss the Pastor Joel spiritual dialysis for 2 or 3 weeks because we had to be gone, and or we were sick, or the kids were sick, or we had to go out of town for sporting events, or this, it's just no big deal. We'll get back in 3 weeks. But you've set yourself up for this 30 or 40 minutes to be your spiritual dialysis. So now you're telling me what you've set yourself up to need weekly, you can miss for 3 weeks? And it's okay? It's no big deal? God has put me in your life today to tell you that is a big deal. In fact, if you're only getting spiritual dialysis once a week in church from Pastor Joel, or in the future from Pastor Keith, I have a pastoral diagnosis for you. You're dying, spiritually speaking. Did I say that strong enough? If you say, my spiritual dialysis, my time in the Word, where the Word takes the toxins out that come to your life just by living. If you say, I just need that once every 7 days for 30, 40 minutes or so, you're spiritually dying. You don't know it, but you are. And I'll tell you something else about yourself. You function double-mindedly. It says in James 4:8, purify your hearts, you double-minded. Our third truth for today, a symptom of spiritual heart disease is being double-minded. A symptom of spiritual heart disease is being double-minded. Now, I hope you're asking the question right now, how do I know if I am double-minded? Well, I'm fixing to tell you. I want to show you from the Word of the Lord 4 ways that you can know if you are double-minded. And if you're double-minded, you're double-minded because you're not getting enough of spiritual dialysis. Okay? Number one, you're always looking back. Luke 9:62, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. You know the Lord. You've been walking with the Lord, but you know, you're always looking backwards. You're always looking over your shoulder as to how you've lived your life. Maybe how you've lived your life that week. You're sitting here in church on Sunday morning, but you're thinking about Friday night and what you did on Friday night. Or you're sitting here in church, and yet you're thinking about that business deal that you did on Wednesday. You're always looking back. You're double-minded. Secondly, you feel guilty most of the time. The heart is deceitful, and they bear guilt. You're just like, yeah, crumb, I did that and I shouldn't have, and I did that, I watched that and I shouldn't have, and I went to that place and I shouldn't have, and on and on and on and on and on and on and on. I'm going to stop right here because we have a situation in our church where we need some help. Let's just begin to pray for Suk Young. Stretch your hands towards Suk Young and let's pray. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Biko shoto rebatai. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Borieko sato rebatai. Beko kapa. Thank you, Pastor Lynn. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, ushers, security team. Jesus, I pray for Sukyoung Yano right now. Lord, whatever her physical need is, by your stripes, she is touched and healed. And Lord, I pray that you would come and you would heal her and you would right what has gone awry and what has gone wrong. Thank you, Lord, that around her are very competent people who can care for her and take care of her and know what they're doing. But we know most of all what we're supposed to do, and that is look to you, oh God. And so we look to you and ask that you would help in this situation right now. In Jesus' name. Everybody that agrees with that, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, I want you to know that we have, in every service, we have very competent people to help people who come across a difficult time physically. We have a security team in every service that's trained and prepared and ready to help. In this case, I saw at least two nurses involved, and of course our care pastor. So we thank the Lord for those who stand ready to help in situations like this. Would you say amen to that?
Amen.
Amen. Here's another way you will know if you're a double-minded person. You put money over God. Jesus said, you just can't serve both God and money. It's not possible. Because what happens is money will take the place of God in your life every time if you let it. So you've got to make sure in your priorities that it's God first and money down the line. And finally, you're just unstable. A double-minded man is unstable in all he does. And I'm telling you, this unstableness will affect every part of one's life. It'll affect your walk with God. It'll affect your marriage. It'll affect your home and your children. It'll affect your finances. All four of these kinds of people need their hearts to be purified. How? Okay, now we're ready to go to our text this morning. In Acts 15, we are told how we can get our hearts purified. Follow closely. We're very close to the end of the message. In Acts 15, there is a healthy discussion going on over salvation coming to the Gentiles. I want us to pick it up again and read it. Here, you can just follow it on the screen. After much discussion, Peter got up and addressed them. And brothers, he said, you know that some time ago God made a choice among you that the Gentiles might hear from my lips the message of the gospel and believe. God, who knows the heart, showed that he accepted them by giving the Holy Spirit to them just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them. Look at this next line. For he purified their hearts by faith. That last line, God purifies our hearts by faith. Let me ask you, where does faith come from? You know. Faith comes by hearing, and that hearing is hearing the Word of God. See, that's why on Sunday mornings, you can hear me stand up here for 30, 40 minutes, and I can just speak the word into your life, the word into your life, and you leave feeling like, oh, I've got faith, I've got faith. But if you don't continue that process tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday till next Sunday, that faith just goes like a flat tire. The word put into our life produces faith. Faith purifies the heart. And a purified heart is what we all need. Maybe an equation will help. The word plus faith equals the purified heart. Now, It's one of the reasons Christian Celebration Center is such a strong congregation. This church is filled with Word people. And Word people are constantly having whatever toxins come into us by living life purified out, so our flow from our hearts is healthier because the toxins have been taken out. Now, don't fool yourself. If we reduce or cease the purification process, spiritual toxins start building up. And the result is we get spiritually sick. I wish I could tell you how many times I have witnessed this as a pastor over 31 years in this setting. People who get on fire for God and they're in the Word and they're coming and saying, and God showed me this and God showed me this and God showed me that and oh man, they're just like this and this. And then after a while, they stop carrying their Bible or their phone or whatever they're going to read their Bible. You know, we can disguise whether we're in the Word or not. Today we just carry our phone. Everybody thinks we're in the Word. Are we? Are you? Sweetheart, I love you more than you'll ever know. And there's one thing that I really, really admire about you. Donna has every day what she calls her counter time. It's at the kitchen counter where she's into the Word. And she's getting the Word deposited in her life. And that Word takes the toxins out. Makes her spiritually healthy. Sometimes she gets so much from the Word at counter time, she calls me up. Hey, I'm the priest. I'm in the Holy of Holies hearing from God. Nobody can interrupt me except my wife. And she starts going. And I just know I got to listen because she's just gotten something from the Word. So this morning, I walk out into the kitchen. I get up really, really early and go over my message and pray and what have you and do the thing with the dogs. And then she's back getting ready, and then I go back to get ready. And she comes out the kitchen. I come out the kitchen this morning, and she's got the Word open in front of her. Now, this is not usually a case on Sunday morning. I looked at her and I said, are you concerned you're not going to get anything from the Word today? You got to start early? You know what she said? She said, you never know. You never know, Joel. Well, I want to tell you something about you. You keep up counter time. In all the days of your life, you will never be spiritually sick. And I want to tell you in front of all of these people, I'm really looking forward to where I can interrupt your counter time and the two of us can have counter time together. Because there's been a lack of that in our lives. Oh, there hasn't been a lack of me being in the Word, dear Lord. Swim upstream in the Word. Hear me. There's been a lack of counter time in this relationship. And I pledge to you in front of all these people, and you and I have talked about that. This isn't catching her by surprise. That's gonna change. Last truth, we all need the purifying water of God's Word. Now go back to the 112th Psalm guy. What did it say about him? He feared the Lord, and what did it say? He found great delight in the Lord's command. Do you? Do you find great delight? In having your heart and your kidneys examined, tested, tried, purged, purified. If you have a constant daily time in the Word, I'll tell you something. You will have a healthy spiritual heart, which in turn will make your entire spiritual being healthy. Because the word of the Lord does that. The word of the Lord purifies our heart, and we all need it. Would you bow your heads, please? Music so often touches our hearts deeply. Leon, lead us in this chorus, please.
Let the rain of your presence fall on me. Every day that I live, with every breath I breathe, let the rain of your presence fall on me. Everywhere that I go, Lord, let your presence flow, rain on me.
Let's sing that again. Let's join Leon. Sing it, would you please?
Let the rain of your presence fall on me. Every day that I live,
with every breath I breathe.
Holy Spirit is really moving in this service right now. People are beginning to weep in the Lord's presence. Let the Lord touch you. Let the Holy Spirit confirm in your life whatever He wants to. We got to sing it again. We got to sing that again. Let's sing it again. Ask the Lord for it in your life.
Let the rain of your presence. Every day that I live, every breath I breathe, let the rain of your presence, every Lord, let your presence flow.
To make it easier for response, let us all stand. I don't think this is a raise your hand, bow your heads, close your eyes, raise your hand message. How many would be honest today and say, Pastor Joel, I have shortchanged my spiritual dialysis. You were speaking about me. Relying way too much on you, bumping your gums on Sunday morning and just kind of letting that ride for the whole week. And I know I've got to have the Word of God in my life every day to purify my heart, or the toxins overtake the good blood. And the Holy Spirit has spoken to you about that. As Leon leads us again, come to an old-fashioned altar and do business with God about your need to have the Word of God in your life every day. Because outside of that, I'm telling you, you become spiritually sick. There is no other solution. On the first word, if the Lord's talking to you about your counter time, your car time, your bedtime, I don't know what it is, and you've slacked off and you know it needs to be a lot better, do some business with God.
Let the rain of your presence on me.
Come from all over. Come from the balcony. Come from the back rows. Come.
Every day that I breathe, with every breath I breathe, the rain of your presence on me.
Donna, would you please pray over these dear people?
Father, we just love you so much today, and we thank you that you indeed are our Heavenly Father. Thank you, Lord, that it is your desire that as your children, we would develop a relationship with you where we could crawl up in your lap, not in a fearful awe, but in a loving awe of you that's respectful of you, and snuggle tight and snuggle close and dialogue with you to hear you talk to us and confirm your love to us and all that you want to be to us, and that we can talk back to you and say thank you for all the attributes of yourself and all the love that you have for us out of relationship. Help us to understand today that in order to be in relationship, it goes both ways. And so might we, as a people today, be reminded that we have to be intentional in this relationship. And we have to know the word, because it's your voice to us. And then follow the word because the word says that if we'll hide your word in our hearts, we won't be sick. And then there will be nothing between us. Your words, our words, intimate relationship with a very loving Father. You have always looked to tabernacle your presence, and your ultimate desire is to tabernacle your presence in our lives, that we would be your tabernacle. And in that tabernacle, that there would be a flaming of that relationship from sun up to sundown, blowing the flame of dialogue from the time we rise in the morning till we lay our heads down at night on our pillows, in perpetual relationship, you talking to us, we talking to you, all through the day. Thank you, Lord, that you call us your friend. And thank you that we can receive your friendship. Help us to understand it's up to us. Help us to be responsible, understanding when we move into that, it's the most beautiful thing that we have on earth. I commit this people to you today, Lord, to be intentional and to follow your word that says to seek you first with everything, every breath that's in you. Not out of legalism, but understanding the reward. We love you, Lord. We thank you that you love us. We thank you. We thank you for Jesus. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for making Jesus real to us. We pray it all now in thanksgiving in the powerful name of our Savior. Amen.
It's love divine. Joy unspeakable, it's unspeakable in my soul. It's mine, it's refreshed, and I've rested in your presence.
Bless you and keep you, make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. That God would grant unto you some really, really good times in his word between now and next Sunday. Next Sunday, the joyful heart. From the purified heart to the joyful heart. God can give us a heart that's full of joy. And we'll learn about that next Sunday. God bless you. Have a good day.